Welcome everybody here, and thank you for the opportunity to present to you a group maybe some of you still haven't heard of. This presentation is about Chaya, a project which was done on the Yucatan Peninsula, central Yucatan Peninsula. I'm here also representing my colleague Maria de Jesus Mendez Aguilar, who cannot be here right now. I introduce to you Chaya. This is the plan. So we're going to hear a little bit about it. In English, it's sometimes also referred to as a spinach tree. It's an autochthonous plant from Mesoamerica. There are also other edible species of this group, but the most relevant group is the Chaya mansa group, which is locally referred also to as sweet chaya. And this is the interesting aspect about this crop. This crop is still not cropped intensely. So right now you only find some isolated individual plants in traditional Mayan house gardens, but there's no cropping so far of this plant. We have found information or evidence also from other parts such as Cuba, Nigeria, Thailand, Vietnam, and I saw also chaya plants in Florida, but all of this is more individually and not that intensely produced. The phenotype we were experimenting with, the sweet chaya, you can distinguish it due to the lobes of the leaves. This one normally has three lobes, while the other and the native types might have four or even five. You use normally clones for transplanting this plant. The harvesting starts in the second year after establishing them. You can harvest this plant all over the years in the tropical or subtropical climate, but the recommendation of the local farmers is not to harvest more than the half of the leaf mass in a certain moment. Pruning is recommended in springtime. So far, there are no pests identified. There are only occasional reports of fungal infection, but this is, in my opinion, is very normal, as there is no intensive production, no monocropping. So far, no pests have shown up, but this might change when intensifying this crop. Normally, with the precipitation there on the Yucatan Peninsula, there is no additional irrigation necessary for the plant, and also so far there's no need for a systematized fertilization, but this is just one of the issues we would like to discover. So what is it used for? Traditionally, it's a very main ingredient of the local cuisine there of the Mayan people in Mesoamerica. It's also used there in the traditional medicine. You can see here on the photos a picture of how it is used as food. Important is that due to its relatively high content of hydrogen cyanide, it should be boiled or dried before eating it. Some people also use it for hedges. This is so far the use of the plant. But we see a much more profound potential in this crop as a food. It's an excellent source of protein, also very rich in vitamin C, calcium, iron, and antioxidants. If we learn how to control the issue with the hydrogen cyanide, it might also be interesting as a forage crop, and I also think that it has some potential as organic fertilizer fermented for foliar application. Just comparing the spinach tree with the common spinach, actually the taste is very similar. You can see it wins in all categories. It has more proteins, more iron, calcium, potassium, and more vitamins. So this is really, I think this has the potential to become one of these new wonder crops. It's really, really interesting and has a big potential. So as there are no intensive production system for chaya, we know, because we see it there on the Yucatan, that it grows very, very well in the house garden, but we want to learn how really what do we have to do to grow this plant? Obviously, in a sustainable production system without irrigation, but yet, or definitely more intense than it is occurring. What you find normally, there are 2, 3, 4 plants per household, but it's just, you cannot call it actually a cropping of this interesting plant. So we were thinking, how should we start about learning about this crop? And one thing we are doing, which I still won't present because it will take us a little bit more time, is about the phenotypes, how many phenotypes, which can be, in the longer term, identified as land races, can be found there. This is one of our first issues related to the chaya. The other one is the optimum arrangement, how to crop. I think this is maybe one of the most relevant things to start with a new crop. Also the potential for the organic focus of the production, the potential to intercrop it. We chose the Roselle because it has more or less the same environmental requirements as chaya. So our general objective of a series of trials we are realizing there is to establish all the principles of a sustainable rainfall production system of chaya, and specifically now in the first part of this series of experiments we are comparing two planting arrangement differing in density and also the possibility to intercrop the chaya. Where was it done? For those just in front of New Orleans, crossing the Gulf of Mexico, you get to the Yucatan Peninsula, and there it was done in the central part in the municipality of, it's called Jose Maria Morelos, where we have about 1,300 millimeters of rainfall and an average temperature of 26 degrees C. We started there in 2014. The varieties, the variants we were comparing, as already mentioned, were differing in planting density and in the terms of intercropping. The first one, we always used an equidistance of 2 meters between planting rows. In the first arrangement, we had 1 meter between every plant. And the second variant, it was 0.5 meter, so the double of density. And in the third one, it's also the same arrangement, but in that case, it was alternating with Roselle and chaya. So already mentioned, we started there in 2014. The phenotype is the sweet chaya, which is the most common one there. We used clones we obtained there locally of about 15, 25 centimeters length. Irrigation was only rain-fed. This might be another interesting aspect to deepen in the future, how irrigation or how the plants respond to irrigation. A lot of stuff to do. Fertilization was only incorporation of fresh organic matter. Normally the plant grows there very easily and they don't do much more fertilization measures about it. Weed control was manual. So actually there it's only necessary in the raining season. And as we had some issues with Xanthomona and also with the spider mite, we used some natural extracts based on resources we could obtain regionally there, and we also did phytosanitary pruning. The general arrangement was a randomized block system with 6 repetition per variance of 12 plants each, and the first parameters we were discovering are all related to vegetative growth. Eight number of area of leaves per plant, number of trunks, and the first harvest is expected for 2016, so next year maybe at the ASHS conference I can present results, more deeper results resulted related to the output. As for height, there was no difference between all of these 3 variants, independent from the arrangement, or also even in the case of the mixed arrangement. When we go now to the number of leaves, we can see that this changed a little bit, so that the plants with the variants with only strip arrangement were superior to the mixed arranged to the mixed arrangement. And the same goes for the number of plants, which is a very significant parameter. The same picture, mixed apparent was significantly inferior, and there's also a tendency that favors the low density in comparison to the high density. So this is what we're seeing here. This is more or less the summary of what we have been seeing there in the diagrams. Height development, there's no difference. Number of trunks and leaves favors strip arrangement. And intercropping with rosa decreases vegetative development. We are doing soil water studies there, and I think we'll obtain this data in also finishing with this production cycle. So far, we are pretty convinced that this has something to do with competition for water. Some other observations, which were not related to parameters, but very interesting, is that in the denser variants, there's especially a problem with vegetative growth in periods of drought, which makes sense due to the competition for water. We did not see substantially harming pests and diseases, but we had a little bit smaller presence of red spider mite. This might become a problem in the future there with this crop. Wheat crop is very essential, also due to competition for nutrient and water. Therefore, we think maybe soil covering might be very useful. Interesting is the planting procedure, 10 to 15 centimeters. It's interesting, and we found out, and this is very related to what the farmers have told us, that it's you should not cover actually the holes you're digging, just putting the plant inside. The ceiling, and this differs a little bit from the information of the producers. They say 10-15 centimeters are okay. We thought that it might be better to use longer clones than longer than 20 centimeters, and we already found more than seven different phenotypes, quite different. This is really, really interesting, and maybe for me the most interesting aspect. Which conclusions can we take from this after only 1 year with the experiment? Well, the plant definitely has the potential to be cropped under these conditions. It's not very complicated, does not need huge irrigation, so it's definitely a plant which is adapted to, or which has potential for organic management based on local resources. But we also already found out that despite the organic focus of the experiment, and obviously we are always in favor of intercropping, the idea to intercrop it with Roselle might not have been that favorable for the development of the plant. But will be all a series of experiments. We're just learning about it. Very, very exciting crop. Here, a picture with local producers and their chaya plant. I would like to apologize that I just found out that I possibly did not submit the most recent version of my presentation. There was a small typing error in it. Maybe you didn't even notice, but I did. So I would like to apologize. And now,
maybe one question.
Small question. Definitely. I think, first of all, we have to learn how to crop it. The consumption there on the Yucatan Peninsula is already common, but I think this crop has potential for consumption in many different areas. So we want to promote it. We want even to, even in market studies, so we're covering a whole kind of issues. And I'm also using this opportunity of inviting maybe universities here in the U.S. if there is an interest in collaboration related to this issue, especially the genetic part with the phenotypes is very interesting, and there's no literature. So this is really pioneer work. There's no literature about it. So if somebody is interested, just write me, please. Thank you so much. Yes.